Part 7. The Disaster at Box Hill. Emma had arranged with Mr. Weston to visit Box Hill, a well-known beauty spot which she had never seen. Mr. Weston invited Mrs. Elton too. But when one of the horses became lame, the excursion was delayed.
"You had better come to Donwell instead,"
said Mr. Knightley.
"Come and eat my strawberries."
Mrs. Elton was delighted.
"Name the day, Knightley. I shall choose the guests for you."
"There is only one married woman in the world who I can ever allow to invite guests to Donwell."
"Mrs. Weston, I suppose,"
said Mrs. Elton, disappointed.
"No, Mrs. Knightley. And until she exists, I will invite the guests myself."
"Ha ha! You are a strange man, Knightley. Well, as it is an open-air party, perhaps I shall come on a donkey. We will gather the strawberries ourselves and sit under the trees to eat them."
"Not at all. We shall eat in the dining room. Mr. Woodhouse would never sit under a tree."
Under a bright sun on Midsummer's Day, everyone met at Donwell. Emma loved the Abbey. Mrs. Elton led the way to the strawberry fields. She looked ridiculous in a large bonnet and carrying a huge basket.
"My friend, Mrs. Bragg, who lives near Maple Grove, needs a governess,"
she told Jane Fairfax.
"I have told her all about you. You must accept immediately."
"Let's look at the gardens,"
said Jane, wanting to escape. They looked out over the sweet view of hills, woods, meadows and river. Emma thought that it was the perfect English countryside. Mr. Knightley and Harriet were walking together, leading the way. Emma met Jane Fairfax near the house.
"Please, Miss Woodhouse, tell the others that I am going home. I must go."
"Certainly, but you are not going to walk alone."
"Yes, I walk fast. I shall be at home in 20 minutes.
"Let me order a carriage. You are tired."
"Thank you, but no. Miss Woodhouse, we all know that sometimes we are wearied in spirit. The greatest kindness will be to leave me alone."
Emma understood. She suddenly felt deep sympathy for Jane, who, with no fortune or rich family, was the victim of Mrs. Elton. 15 minutes later, Frank Churchill arrived.
"It is very hot outside. I am late. I shall soon have to go again. I met Miss Fairfax on the way. Walking. Madness in this hot weather. Madness."
Emma realized that he was in a bad mood because of the weather.
"As soon as my aunt is well, I shall go abroad, to Switzerland. I want a change. I am serious, Miss Woodhouse. I am sick of England. I would leave tomorrow if I could."
"We are going to Box Hill tomorrow. Will you join us? It is not Switzerland, but it will be a small change for you."
"Miss Woodhouse, you are my queen. I shall come to Box Hill."
The next day was fine. Everyone expected a pleasant excursion. When they arrived, they all agreed that the view was splendid. Frank Churchill paid great attention to Emma, and she, feeling flattered, responded. Soon, it was obvious to everyone that Mr. Frank Churchill and Miss Emma Woodhouse were flirting with each other. But he was not winning back Emma's heart.
"Yesterday, I was in a bad mood because I was hot. Today, I am cool because I am with you. You are my queen."
"Since yesterday?"
"Since I first saw you in February."
"You are very gallant, but we are the only people speaking. It is hard work talking nonsense for the enjoyment of 7 silent people."
"I say nothing that I am ashamed of. I first saw you in February. Let everybody on the hill hear me."
He spoke even more loudly.
"Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Woodhouse orders me to say that she wishes to know what you are thinking about."
A few people laughed. Mrs. Elton was angry because Emma was the queen of the day. Mr. Knightley answered very clearly.
Is Miss Woodhouse sure that she wants to know our thoughts?
Frank spoke again.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Woodhouse orders me to say that each of you must say one very clever thing, or two moderately clever things, or three very stupid things.
Oh!
Exclaimed Miss Bates.
Three very stupid things. That would just suit me. I should be sure to say three very stupid things as soon as I open my mouth.
Emma could not resist.
Ah, madam, that may be difficult for you. You will be limited in number, only three at a time.
There was a sudden silence. For a moment, Miss Bates did not understand the insult. Then she blushed, hurt, not angry.
Well,
she said to Mr. Knightley,
I will try to keep quiet. I must be very disagreeable, or she would not have said such a thing to an old friend. I have nothing clever to say,
said Mrs. Elton.
Yes, please excuse me also,
said Mr. Elton.
I am an old married man. I have nothing to say that can amuse Miss Woodhouse. Let's go for a walk, Augusta.
Yes, Mr. E.
They are a happy couple,
Frank Churchill said sarcastically.
They are exactly right for each other. They only knew each other for a few weeks in Bath before they got married. But it is very unusual that you can form a real relationship in a public place like Bath or Weymouth. Many men have got married after knowing somebody for a few weeks and then regretted it for the rest of their lives.
Jane Fairfax spoke.
I agree that men and women sometimes make mistakes about each other, but only weak, dependent characters will not recover from an unlucky acquaintance of that kind.
Frank Churchill turned to Emma.
Well, I hope that somebody will choose my wife for me. Will you, Miss Woodhouse? I am sure I should like your choice. Find somebody for me. And make her like yourself. Adopt her. Educate her.
Very well. You will have a charming wife.
She must be very lively, like you, and have hazel eyes, like yours. I shall go abroad for a couple of years, and when I return, I shall come to you for a wife. Remember?
Emma was thinking of Harriet. Apart from the colour of her eyes, she was the perfect wife for Frank.
Now, aunt,
said Jane Fairfax, rising quickly.
Let us join Mrs. Elton.
She seemed upset. Then the carriages arrived. The excursion to Box Hill was finished. Mr. Knightley stood by her and spoke quietly.
Emma, I must speak to you as an old friend. You have behaved very wrongly. How could you be so unkind to Miss Bates?
Emma laughed.
I am sure she did not understand me.
I know that she did. She has talked to me since then. She is a very unlucky woman, Emma. She is poor, with nothing to look forward to except a lonely old age. You have acted thoughtlessly. Please forgive me, Emma, for speaking so directly.
They reached the carriage. Before she had time to say anything, she was driven away with Harriet. She felt terribly upset. To her surprise, tears began to run down her cheeks, and she did nothing to stop them. That evening, Emma played cards with her father, but she was thinking of Mr. Knightley's words. He had left thinking that she was hard-hearted and proud before she had time to excuse herself. Next morning, she went to visit Miss Bates to apologize. When she arrived, Jane went quickly into her bedroom. Emma saw her face briefly. She looked very sad and ill.
She has a dreadful headache, poor Jane,
said Miss Bates.
She has been writing to Colonel Campbell and Mrs. Dixon with tears in her eyes. Of course, she is very lucky. Mrs. Elton has found her a job as a governess with a very good family near Maple Grove. All yesterday, Jane refused to go. But when she came back from Box Hill, Jane said yes.
It must be sad for her to leave her friends.
She decided everything so very quickly. Mr. and Mrs. Elton were here. We heard that Mr. Churchill had gone back to London, and then after tea, Jane decided. She cannot take the piano with her, of course. Colonel Campbell will decide what to do.
When she returned to Hartfield, Emma found Mr. Knightley and Harriet there with her father. Mr. Knightley immediately got up, looking more serious than usual.
I came to say goodbye. I'm going to London for a few days to visit John and Isabella.
But isn't this a sudden plan?
They stood talking briefly. Emma was sure that he had not forgiven her. Mr. Woodhouse interrupted.
Well, my dear, did you reach Miss Bates's house safely? Dear Emma has been to call on Mrs. and Miss Bates, Mr. Knightley. She is always so kind to them.
Emma blushed. With a smile and a shake of her head, she looked almost shyly at Mr. Knightley. His eyes seemed to receive the truth from hers. He said nothing, but he forgave her. As he left, he took her hand. He pressed it and seemed about to carry it to his lips. Then, for some reason, he let it go. She felt, however, that it had been a gesture of perfect friendship. Then he left for London. Next day, there was astonishing news. Mrs. Churchill, Frank's tyrannical aunt, had died. Emma realized that Frank would now be free to marry whoever he wished. Lucky Harriet. Emma remembered Jane Fairfax's sad face and wrote to her, inviting her to Hartfield. But Jane did not accept. She was too ill. However, later she was seen walking alone in the fields near Highbury. It was clear that she wanted to accept no kindness from Miss Woodhouse. Suddenly, Mr. Weston arrived at Hartfield.
Emma, you must come to Randall's. Mrs. Weston must see you. There is terrible news.